Hey, welcome to the Push Pull Sales and Marketing Podcast. I'm Marcella.
And I'm Sherry. And each episode will provide you with sales and marketing strategies that you can implement immediately into your own business.
Today, I am speaking with Yali Sar, who is the co-founder of Taylor Brands, which is a company that helps you create professional logos within minutes. I've used Taylor Brands for both this podcast and the parenting website that I co-founded. So I am so excited to have you on the podcast today, Yali.
Excited to be here.
Thanks for coming. So what we usually start with is if you can tell me a little bit more about yourself, tell me more about Taylor Brands, where did the idea come from? How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So my background comes initially from journalism. I was actually a journalist, then a political spokesperson, and then by kind of a weird, fickle way, I found myself in the creative team of BBDO. I was doing projects for large organizations, telecom companies, soda companies. And the more we did more of those projects, we realized, or I realized, that there was really kind of an equation of time versus quality. Mm-hmm. Now, this equation, you know, it seems very logical to big corporations because they can spend the money.
Right.
But then when you go to the smaller players, there's really an issue where if somebody is opening up a coffee shop and he wants to compete with Starbucks just across the road, there is really kind of like a huge barrier of entry.
Mm-hmm.
So actually after BBDO, I went on to establish a nonprofit called Raising the Bar, which started out in New York, then expanded to San Francisco, Hong Kong, and Sydney, and it was around rebranding education. So it was always around the aspects of rebranding. But this idea kind of always set with me, that idea that we had, that I had back at BBDO. After Raising the Bar, my two co-founders and I, Tom Lahat and Adav Schatz, we went back to that. To that idea. Tom comes from a long history of design. Nadav comes from the technical side. And suddenly, for the first time after having this idea for a while, we had a vision of basically how to try and solve that equation.
Yeah.
And the idea was creating a mechanism that would enable us to basically automate a lot of the functions that we were doing, you know, whether it was me on the creative and copy side of BBDO and whether it was Tom on the design side. And the idea was to basically develop a machine learning-based platform that would allow the system to do anything from, you know, designing a logo to writing posts for any small business. So basically automating every service that BBDO would give Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
But to kind of give that to any small business regardless of the budget. So we started Taylor Brands 2 years ago. We grew tremendously.
Yeah.
And, you know, now there is actually, it's insane. We have a design happening on the platform every second and a half.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really fun to see this growing and seeing this helping, you know, hundreds of thousands of businesses every month.
Yeah. Well, I'm really surprised to hear that it's only 2 years old, because I'd have to go back and look and see when I created the push-pull logo. We did essentially a rebrand with you guys because I came across your service and I wasn't necessarily looking for a logo, but I was so blown away by what you put together automatically within, you know, 10 minutes of me being on your website that I was like, well, yeah, it's a no-brainer. I need to buy this logo. Like, it's perfect. And I love your point of time versus quality. It is such a problem. It is so hard for businesses to compete with these big guys that can throw unbelievable amounts of money at graphic designers and market research to formulate. You know, it does make branding does matter. You know, making that first impression does matter. So I think finding the answer to that, and it sounds like you kind of put together the perfect team as well, from the technological aspect and the designer aspect, and then all of your knowledge coming in as well. It sounds like, yeah, definitely a formula for success between everything.
So there's, you know, I obviously agree about branding matters, and there's actually a funny story. There was I'm guessing that you're familiar with the sentence, the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yes.
So sliced bread was actually invented in 1912, if I'm not mistaken, the sliced bread, the bread slicing machine.
Okay.
And nobody really wanted to use, you know, nobody really wanted to purchase sliced bread because at the end of the day, what you were buying was a more expensive loaf of bread that would actually expire faster, right? That's what sliced bread is.
Right.
And it took 17 years until a small bakery in Missouri actually packaged the sliced bread and branded it in a way that people were willing to buy it. And branding, this is what it's all about. It's perception. It's understanding that the perceived value of the product you're selling is as important as the actual value of it. And this is what allows, you know, a $2 bodega coffee to be sold for $5 at a Starbucks.
Right. Yeah. It's all about the logo and the perception. 100%. I guess I don't know where to start. I have so many questions for you guys. But one of my big questions, and I know one that the audience is interested in, well, let's start with the process of Taylor Brands. All right. So I go to your website. What do I do?
So you go to taylorbrands.com. You simply input the name of your business. You tell us a little bit about what you do. You write that in. And then Taylor starts a little game. And this is, we try to make the experience as similar to working with an actual designer. So it would show you a couple of images. We call it this or that. You would tell us what you like. And then within 2 minutes, you would get, you know, between 6 and 12 logos to choose from.
I have a question along the way. I've wondered about that step where you get to enter the description of your business. Are you guys picking up keywords from that? Or how is that working on the back end?
Yeah, so it's a process that is called NLP, natural language processing.
Okay.
And what we do there is two things. A, we obviously have this term cloud where it picks up specific things and basically is able to match them to criterias that we know work for design. And secondly, it basically crosses intersections between basically how you're saying stuff. And if you think about it, there's, you know, we, so design has patterns to it. And this is how Taylor actually works. If you think about anything creative, it can basically be broken down into a linear formula with n variables, right? So a logo is basically just a result of a style, a structure, and a typeface. And while we all like to think of ourselves as unique little snowflakes, design does have patterns to it. So if you would ask a fashion logo from a graphic designer, he is most likely to give you a typeface called Dido. And the reason is that, you know, if you look at Dior, if you look at Harper's Bazaar, if you look at Giorgio Armani, they're all using the same font. So we are associating that with fashion. And that is what you want your clients to associate your brand with. So Taylor is able to pick up, let's say you said the fashion logo. So immediately the system is like, oh, okay, let's try and give that person a font called Dido. And so on and so on.
And I saw that firsthand, you know, typing in one for the podcast where I was talking about like business and sales and marketing. Because what happens for you guys listening that haven't been there, like you said, you type in the description and then it gives you this or that options of a whole bunch of different fonts. So when I typed in more business related things, I was getting those stronger, more like all caps and type of fonts. But when I was doing it for the parenting website, I was getting a lot more of the handwriting type fonts, a little bit swirlier, a little bit more casual. And I thought it worked perfectly. And it gave me the opportunity to pick, you know, what I was attracted to, but it was still steering me down a path that you're right, that my audience is going to know what to expect when they see it. Because even if we're on a subconscious level, we're looking around on websites or in magazines or advertising, you're right that those fonts do convey something. You know, if I had like a bold all caps type of typeface on my parenting website, people might be a little bit confused as to what's going on when they're used to seeing something softer and more relatable in that regard. And the same thing applies, you know, the reverse applies to business type stuff.
I think it's when it comes to branding, when you're a business just starting out, there are two very important things to remember. The first thing is that the brand and the design should really project what it is that you're trying your customers to or your audience to take or to acknowledge in the product that you're setting forth. The second thing, and this is, you know, after you get the logos and Taylor brands, you've probably been through this process, it allows you afterwards to create posts and banners and whatnot using the same language. Mm-hmm. And that's a second very important thing about branding. Keeping brand continuity is one of those things that really kind of, you know, makes a difference between your customers identifying you on every other channel and becoming followers there as well, or just losing them.
Right. And absolutely. And I mean, like you said, with all the different social channels, it is so important to have that consistent. It's not like, you know, not so many years ago, people might see a brochure or a storefront, but now we need to make sure that things are consistent in so many different places and so many different sizes, and you know that it looks good everywhere. Which was a big selling point for me too. That with you guys, you know, we get you can have a black and white version, you can have a color version, you get all of the various copies of this so that you can use it in any way, whether it's printing it on a t-shirt or putting it in a tiny Twitter profile picture. It really works for anything. One of my other questions is, should a logo be on trend, or is there such a thing as a timeless logo? Like for me, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of just simple text seems to be on brand. Like it's just the name of the company. There's not necessarily an icon. It kind of just, the simpler, the better. What do you think?
Yeah. So actually, you know, there is definitely such a thing as a timeless logo versus a trend. Mm-hmm. Typography logos, which is what we usually refer to as, you know, simple text logos, are usually very timeless in nature, mm-hmm. Which is why, you know, we like them. You see Dior today, you know, looks as marvelous as it looked, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
American Apparel is, you know, looks great, even though it's simple Helvetica font. Mm-hmm. There are trends I would usually try and avoid them. And you've seen that we recently had dynamic logos, which are logos that, you know, change each and every time that you use them. Those tend to be sometimes confusing. But what we try and do with some of our services is keep your brand and logo both timeless and updated. And, you know, if you think about it, there are ways to keep updating your font as it go forward. And a simple, maybe one of the simplest ways to look at it would be, you know, take a logo like Ford, for example, which is a very old logo. It's been there for a while. And it looks pretty much the same, but it doesn't, because if you look at it, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they flattened it out and there was a trend of basically, you know, getting rid of all of the bevel and ambus we had in logos prior and, you know, going for a flatter version. And that's fine. You should pick up a logo that could basically go through the ages, continue on being timeless like the Ford logo, and still accept changes upon themselves without being completely transformed.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and it's really good advice. Because I'm assuming the Ford logo, like, they're not changing the font, but like you said, it's almost like the logo accessories. Like, are we going to have a shadow? Is there going to be the bevel? Or is it just going to be flat? Will maybe the colors might shift slightly? And I guess that's my other question too. Do you feel like there are color rules to follow? Like, do you even have a personal preference of colorful logos versus just black and white? Or is that another trend kind of thing?
I'll give you the simple answer. Any designer you would ask is probably going. Any good designer probably that you would ask would tell you that his favorite color is black. But the truth is, you know, when it's funny because there's a difference between what I like and what people. We started out Taylor, we set out black as the basically default color for all logos. Mm-hmm. And when we started checking what people were actually purchasing, we noticed that blue is actually the favorite, the most favorite color for the majority of our clients.
Yeah.
So people tend to prefer colors on their logos. And my recommendation there is always keep kind of like a black and white version with your color logo. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can use both, it's great. But if your logo really only works with color, then there's an issue there, because that color is not always going to look great on you know, any backgrounds, and you need to really make sure that your logo can be featured on different sorts of backgrounds.
Yeah, and be recognizable too. Like, is your logo recognizable enough that even if it's just a black and white version, it still looks like your company? And I think you guys have done a really good job of that in what you've been able to pull together as options for people, that you can view it with color and you can view it as black and white, and you can see that in its simplest form, it still stands apart. It doesn't look like you just typed something in a Word document and blew it up.
Yeah. By the way, the current trend, if you're interested, is simplification.
Yeah.
If you look, one of the most interesting examples and understanding how recognizable a logo can actually be is, for example, take MasterCard. MasterCard, in their last rebrand, basically changed their logo to just being two circles without even the MasterCard in the middle that they had for years. And the fact that people can just recognize a brand by having one circle that is red and the other circle that is a yellow is, you know, that's the aspiration of any brand.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think I've seen that post go around online where they take the text out of logos and you have to see if you know what brand it is. And I think it's a very important reminder. Along with that, then, how do you feel about icons versus just text alone? Does it really depend on the audience? Does it depend on the industry? how do we decide? Is it just our own personal preference? How do we decide whether we should pick? Because on TaylorBrands.com, you are able to pick either like an initial-based logo, the text-based logo, or an icon-based logo, and you kind of give some variety to how you put those together. But you guys have a really good icon library as well for people to pull from. So what do you recommend?
I think there's a reason that we let you choose. There are things that we try and guide you through, like mm-hmm. the style. Once you chose something, we would try and guide you through the style. But the type of logo is really up to you. And there's another story that I love. It's about the IBM logo, right? The IBM logo is a very recognizable logo. It was created in, I think, 1982 by Paul Rand, which is one of the greatest brand designers out there. And for years, people had, you know, crazy theories about why it has eight lines to it. Is it the 8-bit? Is it, you know, eight-bit computers? Paul actually wrote, you know, about 100 pages worth of brand book about why it has eight lines to it. And then years later, he was interviewed, and they asked him, you know, what is the actual reason? And he said, listen, I tried 9 lines, didn't work too well. I tried 7 lines, didn't work too well. 8 was just a good number. And they asked him, how did you know that this font is going to convey, you know, technology? And he said, the other option that almost won was a font called Old English. Old English is actually mm-hmm. a Gothic style mm-hmm. font. And if we would have chosen that, today you would recognize computers as, you know, Gothic fonts.
Yeah.
And you really have to, you know, ask yourself, it's Paul's duty to make sure that regardless of whatever, you know, whatever type of logo you choose, it would look great, right? Yeah. It would have those 8 lines and not 9 because it looks great. And that is Taylor's responsibility. But at the end of the day of, you know, whether you want an icon or typeface or initial, that is up to you. And this is something, this is a logo is something that you live with for a long time. So you really have to take a hard look and decide, you know, this is what I want to go with.
Yeah. Yeah. How, my question, because I've just been blown away by how different the styles and the logo options are that you're able to put together. Because even if you go to the end and you get your 6 options or whatever, and you're not quite happy with it, if you start fresh, you're getting another 6. And like you said, like, they all look good. They're simple, but there's something about it that me, I'm not a designer and I don't understand how you get to that point. Like, I'm just always impressed that each and every option looks professional. Nothing's ever too busy, nothing. So how do you, has he designed like endless amounts of pieces that then are pieced together by technology, or how did you get there?
A, thank you.
You're welcome.
B, so imagine the logo as this equation that I told you about with mm-hmm. with the structure and the typeface and the style. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on your preferences, we can mend those pieces together in endless amounts of ways. And when I'm saying endless, I mean hundreds of millions, okay? Now, the second part is, how do you take those endless variations and add creativity to them? Mm-hmm. So when you get those 6 logos, a step afterwards, you're then directed into our editor, right? Mm-hmm. That allows you to kind of change small things. Every change that you make there is sort of like a mistake, right? It's overriding our initial recommendation.
Yes. I've ruined your logos trying to, you know, improve upon them, and I usually end up just going back to the default it recommended.
But, you know, that we love the fact that you're doing that, because that's creativity and that's how a system learns. That's the basic, that's the premise of machine learning. So when you make those mistakes, it's not just you making those mistakes. It's, you know, it's 700,000 people every month making those mistakes.
Yeah.
And our system is able to then, you know, recognize patterns, recognize the things that you are changing in the initial rule set, and basically create new rules based on that. And by doing so, the system is always improving, always creating new designs.
Wow.
And, you know, that's basically how the backbone, the premise of Taylor works.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. As far as, you know, once we're in there editing the logo, like we can change things like color. I think you even give the option to try different fonts. So when we're kind of playing around with those kind of things, are there any hard and fast design rules that you know of? And this might be more of a Paul question, but, you know, maybe we are looking for color and we're just, are there colors that always go together? Are there colors that you should always avoid putting together? Or does it really depend?
So Taylor gives you actually the recommendations of what colors should be working together. There's what we call the color circle that maybe you're familiar with. And that would give you basically what colors are working together, what colors are not working together, right? So, you know, there's always kind of like yellow and purple would go well together, right? Red and green would go well together. And so forth and so forth. There are combinations that you can actually find online that are always true. And yeah, the nice thing about Taylor is that if you don't change the pre-generated recommendations, then you should. These are the recommendations to go with. Now, in terms of what colors convey, that is a whole, a whole different story.
Right?
And there are things that simply work. And again, this is comes with our association of what we know colors do. So, for example, if you look at blue, okay, blue is a color that always kind of gives people confidence. Can I tell you that this is there are psychologists that would tell you that, you know, this is what the color blue triggers in the brain. But you can also go and argue, no, it's because that we've seen enough brands that convey our confidence that are using blue, and now blue conveys confidence. There was actually a point in time after Facebook and Twitter madness that every app on your phone had a blue icon to it. So I think that in a way you have to think, you have to, yes, take into account the color circle and the emotional aspects of color that, you know, you don't really need me for it. You can find it everywhere online. But you also have to think to yourself, what can really set me apart, right? If every other, if you're creating an app, okay, and every other app on your blue symbol to it, my real advice as you know, as a designer would be, regardless if you're trying to convey confidence, do not use blue, because you're just going to be swallowed in that sea of blue.
That's a really good point. It's like you had said before, you know, it's that balance of, you know, being kind of following what your audience expects, but also, you know, standing out, right? That's a huge advantage to branding and logo design, is the ability to set yourself apart a little bit as well.
Yeah, definitely. And onto that, you can, of course, you know, you can, of course, infuse the fact that, you know, for example, the color brown for very wholesome, simple, and honest brands, it works very well. Purple conveys kind of like majestic, royalty type brands. Blue is very, it's the trustworthy, calming kind of brand, green, has this natural vitality. Mm-hmm. I can give you a lot of buzzwords for different colors, but at the end of the day, let me know what street the brand is located in, right? Yeah. Whether it's an actual street, whether it's somebody's phone, whether it's a search result on Google, and look at the competition and understand how you want to set yourself apart.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. One of my other logo related questions, you give the option to include the tagline within your logo. When is that recommended? Or what do you see with your customers if they choose to include the tagline? Do they only use that with the tagline sometimes? It's just kind of something that's been interesting for me with both of my logos that I've created through you. I have not used the tagline. And I'm kind of curious when that should come into play or when we should be paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm. So my recommendation is this. I think that eventually when somebody is looking at a logo is kind of like a sign that you put mm-hmm. everywhere. And you want a person to be able to look at it and in the shortest amount of time remember something about that product mm-hmm. that logo is supposed to be representing. For a lot of us, the name of our brand kind of conveys what we want it to convey. And then we want to reduce as much elements as possible so there would be less for that person's brain to kind of need to absorb, right? So right. If the name says enough, I would avoid adding a tagline because it's just more stuff. It's more clutterness. It's more things for that brain to remember. And it's going to end up, reading the tagline and not remembering what the name was. Yeah. However, when the name by itself doesn't mean a lot and you want to kind of add another line to say what the business does, this is what a tagline is supposed to help you with. Adding those 2-3 words that would help sharpen the message.
Yeah.
However, what I would avoid always is adding a tagline that is a whole story. A tagline is supposed to be just that. It's supposed to be a tagline. Less is more when it comes to brand names and taglines.
For sure. I agree 100%. And I think that there are plenty of people that hear that. They're like, tagline, okay, here's where I can put in my paragraph description of my business. when you're right, it's difficult to come up with a 2-3 sentence tagline that adds value and doesn't confuse people further or detract from it. I do think, it's a tricky thing. And for me, partially, it just came out of laziness that I was like, well, I can't come up with a tagline that I'm happy with, so I'm just going to leave it out.
But by the way, I think that you made, you made a wise choice on that specific case. And if you do decide to add a tagline at any point, think of, it has to be 4 words and it has to answer 2 simple questions. What is your product and what sets it apart from the competition? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Which brings me actually to my next question for you is what sets you apart from your competitors? Do you have any competitors in this space? I feel like this is so unique, or maybe it's just so unique in its execution, because there are plenty of websites that you can find to create logos, but I've been very underwhelmed by a lot of them that I've come across. So what do you think sets you apart from the competition, whether that's websites or whether that's in-person designers?
Yeah, so I think, really, if you map out the market, you have a lot of template generators out there, and our approach is what creates the quality that sets us apart, right? Yeah. When it comes to real life designers, my whole philosophy is we're not there to take anybody's job. Mm-hmm. So my role is to try and supply the most quality product in the shortest amount of time. And, you know, if that's something that, you know, a lot of people, they don't know any designers, they don't, you know, they don't have anybody to turn to, or it's too expensive, yeah, or it's too time consuming. Yeah. And this is exactly where Taylor fits in. We, you know, our technology allows us to bring the quality of a small agency at the time of you know, an automated online solution. We want, if we live in a time where you can build up a website in 5 minutes and start, yeah, processing payments in 10, I want you to be able to design your logo and anything else in under a minute.
Yeah.
And this is where we set ourselves apart from the competition, giving you breaking that equation of quality versus time.
Yeah, I think that's great. Can you speak, the other thing that really sold me on Taylor Brands too was the legality of it. You know, I was starting to hear horror stories of people who had pieced together their own logos and then grew their business only to receive a letter from a lawyer saying they weren't allowed to use that font, or there were issues there. And, you know, I had the confidence through you guys that if I'm buying a logo through you, I have that peace of mind knowing that I have the rights to use that in commercial use.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we had a lot of experience working in agencies, understanding how this process works. We also consulted with a lot of, you know, the big typography makers and so forth. We really wanted to supply you with a solution which is just grab and go. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to employ now lawyers or accountants or whatever it is, mm-hmm, to start using it. Once you downloaded anything from Taylor Brands, you're free to use it however you see fit.
Yeah. That's an amazing service. And something that I at least wanted to make that point, because I think a lot of people starting out don't even realize that they're opening themselves up, that they're vulnerable to, you know, potential lawsuits or anything. Because, you know, if you go on some sort of free font website and download a font, a lot of times it's for personal use. You know, they're not letting you use those things for commercial use. So having the security of Taylor Brands is absolutely worth, you know, the money to use you guys, to know that you have this to use wherever you want and have access to really a high quality logo anytime you need it. What are some common questions that you hear from people, whether they've used Taylor Brands or they're starting out, or they, you know, before they jump into creating a logo?
I think the most common question I hear, it doesn't have to necessarily do to design. It has to do with what you need to think about before you start designing. And that is, how do you come up with a name for your business? So, you know, I'd like to take the opportunity to ask you.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name?
So I asked my husband, Marcella, that does the podcast with me. I was like, here's my idea. I want to start a sales and marketing podcast. I'm in the marketing world. You're in the sales world. I feel like they fit together. But what are some common sales terms? Like, what are some sales concepts? And he started throwing out a couple, and he was like, you know, push-pull, like, you know, kind of relates to sales and marketing. I'm like, that's perfect. That's what I was looking for. Because I wanted something, like you said, that people in the sales world, when they hear that push-pull terminology, that's what comes to mind. Sales and marketing comes to mind, or different sales strategies come to mind. So within that name, you know, I didn't want something that was too outlandish or too abstract, but I also didn't want to just say exactly what we were doing. So I feel like a lot of times it just means a lot of brainstorming, a lot of just paying attention to what's going on around you and trying to provide unique combinations. Because the same thing kind of happened with Adore Them, which is our parenting website. Carissa, who's my co-founder, it was a lot of talking back and forth and thinking, you know, what do we want to convey? We want to convey love and positive parenting. And we were kind of going through, I go to thesaurus.com a lot and we'll type in a word and see what comes up. And I was like, adore. I like the word adore. I like how it sounds. I like how it looks. I like, you know, what it conveys. And then the logistics wise, you know, it's like, well, what's available? What's available as a URL? What's available on social media? Because those are really big factors that we have to consider, you know, in the digital world. What's already taken?
Which, by the way, brings me to the second point that we hear a lot. And that question is, when do I need to start building my online presence? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that, and you guys answered it perfectly, is as soon as possible. Yeah. It's when you're building up any kind of idea, any brand, the first line of defense to your credibility is going to be your online presence. The first thing that people are going to do, they're going to type your name on the web, and it's Google and search for you. And if you're not there, it's going to make any outreach, anything that, you know, any email that you sent less credible. Yes. So if you have an idea and you want to start testing it, I would, you know, honestly recommend build out that design, build out that logo, and build out, even if you can't start a website, just start even a Facebook page with that logo and start posting there. It would give, you know, whatever your project is so much more credibility when you're trying to connect it with other people, and that is priceless.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like you said with the logos, it's that presence. What are you conveying? You need to look professional online. You just have to now. I mean, it is step one. What, even if it's just a very simple one-page website that's clean and conveys, you know, a succinct amount of information, it is such a huge tool. To be able to say, hey, go to pushpullsales.com, and they get a feel for what you're all about.
Definitely. And we have one of our earlier customer, he was making whiskey stones. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was making whiskey stones. The way that he wanted to sell those was going to trade shows and getting buyers to distribute them. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a maker. He didn't have any experience in marketing, and he didn't think also that he needs to. He got to one of those trade shows, and one of the buyers told him, listen, your product, it looks great, but the truth is you don't look like a real company. You look a little bit like, you know, this person that is, you know, crafting some stones on his spare time, but I can't trust him to be able to kind of manage the load. And my first recommendation to you is, you know, get a logo out there, get a sign, look like something I can trust.
Yeah.
And he did that, and he managed to start getting orders.
Yeah.
And there's so much we don't even perceive. There's so much value we don't even perceive about that first interaction with a client, with a buyer, with anyone. And we really need to make as much impact as we can.
For sure. And that brings up a good point too, that a lot of times the logo is step one, versus, you know, for me, it's so helpful to have a logo and be able to see what type of font we're using, if we're using any color, and then we can model the rest of the website or social media platforms off of that core, you know, branding piece.
So, sorry, what was the question again?
No, I didn't really ask a question. I was just saying that it is important to start with the logo versus, like, let's build out a whole website and then we'll decide on a logo. I feel like the logo is a logical first step. That way you have the font that you like, and you can kind of mimic that throughout the rest of your web presence.
That is 100% correct. It basically, we like to think of a logo as basically the centerpiece in that business. And you need to start, and it basically gives you kind of like the tone for anything else that you do afterwards.
For sure. All right. Before we wrap things up, do you have a recommendation for our listeners, whether it's a book, an app, a course, something like that, other than Taylor Brands, of course?
a book that I think is worth reading. So there's actually a couple of those. There's an excellent book called Byuy, ology, basically, and also one called Brandstorming. It's by the same guy, and it takes a very kind of action item based approach and scientific approach towards marketing, and I think it's a must read for anybody starting out a business.
That sounds great. Awesome. Yeah, I'll have to look into those. I haven't heard of either of them, so I'm going to head to Amazon and see if they're there after the show. And the other thing is, how can people find you?
So go to www.taylorbrands.com and or just write Taylor with an I Brands on Google, and you'll find us there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today, Yali. I think I know I got a lot out of it. I think all of my answers or all of my questions answered, and we appreciate you taking time out of your day.
Thank you so much. It was so fun.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Good luck with everything.
Same. Bye-bye.
Bye.